नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम पदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौर विषय नमः। आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्ट टू बेसिस एंड द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य
Vijnanam is still any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given, and that is Krishna Prema. Krishna Varnam Pisha Krishnam Sangha Pango Astra Parshalam Yajnahi Sankirtana Prayair Yajanti Sumedhasaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregation chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, the constant Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons and confidential companions. Now, the sixth Goswami is a Vrindavan. Nana sastra vicharnaika nipunau shadadharma samsthapakau lokanam hitakarinau tribhuvane मान्यो शरण्याकरो वंदे कृष्ण राधा कृष्ण पदारविंद भजना आनंदेन मत्तालिकौ वंदे रूप सनातन रघुयुगौ श्री जीव गोपालकौ। ट्रांसलेशन। आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस टू स्वामी named Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami and Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizing and studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds and they are worth taking shelter of if they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Narom Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam ततो जयम् उदीरयत् नष्ट प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। जय श्री कृष्ण
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. Welcome back. So, we have been hearing the second theme of this course, Shri Bhagavat Sandarbha. And the second theme is about the Lord's potencies, energies. There are four sub-themes. So this is verses 12 to 28 we will be discussing actually. We already discussed in lesson 5 the first part that we saw that Bhagavan is broadly speaking three categories of energies: internal potency, external potency and intermediary potency. The intermediary potency is the living entity's being, and external potency is Maya. Internal potency, that is Lord Swarupa Shakti. And we also saw that these potencies, these energies are functionally or act diametrically upper. But the interesting thing that they still work, so the paraspar virudha, there is a mutual opposition to one another, and yet they all work harmoniously in a complete harmony, with the Lord actually. So Lord accommodates these opposing potencies, which is kind of very kind of strange, very hard to conceive. And that's why Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī says that it is inconceivable. It defies all logic. In fact, anything that is to do with the Supreme Lord, the logic doesn't apply here, you know. Lord is the personification of built-in contradictions. Lord says, I'm here, he's far, he's inside, he's outside, and so on like that. So this is the inconceivable potency, and it is beyond logic. So in lesson 6, text 15 to 17, we learned a little bit more, and that these potencies are intrinsic or inherent or part of the Supreme Lord actually. And of course it is inconceivable, and there are two kinds of potencies. It is conscious or Parichitta Shakti, both the internal potency and the marginal potency, both are followed in this category, the conscious or chit potency. And then there's achitta. Achitta means that it's inert. Now that is where I think many of you may find it kind of difficult to understand, because we all know that the external potency Maya, several weeks before we learned that she is a person actually, that is Durga Devi. So how could she be inert, you know? So she is, today again we are going to learn more about it, much greater detail, that she is not only a person, she is conscious, and yet she is inert, because her products, the Prakriti, you know, that is, the material nature is eternal, but the products, this physical body and so on, like the, or this material world, that is inert, you know. So in that regard, we need to understand that. So that we learned in text 15, 16 and 17, previous week. So today, as you see in this PowerPoint, we are going to see the third part, and we are going to learn more about external potency. Because why? Jiva Goswami wants actually to describe more about the internal potency, but for us it is difficult to understand internal potency because we have no experience, we have no familiarity. But the external potency Maya, so it's much easier. So that is why Jiva Goswami first talks about that. And I can tell you up front, a lot more new things we are going to learn about it, as I did. It's really amazing, in this sandarbhas, so much new things we have been learning. I'll be the first one to admit, it is, these are the topics are relatively quite difficult to comprehend, very difficult to understand, but at the same time, it is also really enlightening actually. So much, in fact today I'm going to learn, I'm going to tell you somewhere halfway down, when we discuss about the three-way communication, the individual spirit soul that we, our physical body or the material world around us, Prakriti, and then there's a Supreme Lord, the Bhagavan potency. He is the one who is really behind everything else. Just like this physical body is inert, it cannot function without consciousness being injected by the spirit soul. But even spirit soul, we are also not independent. Everything works only when the Supreme Lord, the Super Soul, activates. In fact, we learn that we are the seers. But we cannot see unless super soul can see, you know. So there is a three-way communication. That's why how I was inspired. The basic idea we learned from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, then more we learned in Srimad Bhagavatam. But what we are learning here in Sandarbhas is really incredible, actually. You know? So what you need to do, in fact, that's what I'm saying, that the topic is very complex, very difficult. But if you put two a plus, you know, just connecting the dots, is amazing that, you know, so much we learn. That this is where I got the idea of writing this book, and given my scientific background, this three-way communication, that is the one of the central topic of my proposed book, actually, you know. And this, all these ideas are coming from the Sandarbhas, actually, you know. So this is what I have to do, that we have to do. We have to connect the dots, you know. And amazing, so much utility is there for all of us, actually, you know. So that is what we are going to hear today about this Bhagavan's external potency, the Maya, and through Maya's divisions, Jiva Maya and a Guna Maya, that I never heard it before, in spite I've been preaching for the last over 13 years. I never knew that, you know. And the key words behind that, also I discussed many times before. This is one of the Chatushtaka Bhagavatam, the seed verses, and the second seed verse, which is the key verse. In fact, the last, about the last one quarter portion of that verse, I never knew the significance of it until now, until when I got deeply study the Sandarbhas. And this is where this term, that Maya has further two, functionally speaking, Maya has these two divisions, Jiva Maya and Guna Maya, and what are they, that I got to learn only during Sandarbhas. So this is the example I am giving you, that just because the topic is difficult, don't let it bypass you, actually, you know. You stay with it till that, and Lord will enlighten you from within, and so much new realizations you will get in your heart, actually. And it has so much utility, actually. Just like for in mind's case, I got the idea of putting together this book, and because of my science background, I'm trying to connect. So there also I'm within the Shastra, I'm trying to connect the dots, and I'm getting something new. But even because of the science background, they're also putting, connecting the dots. And the whole this book idea came to me about a year back, you know. And I'm still in the process of writing that. So hopefully when it comes out, you know, it's amazing, actually, you know. Okay, so that is today's topic. And that the last of this fourth part of this Bhagavan's potency before we complete, that will be the following week, and that is text 24 to 28, where we will know about Bhagavan's eternal attributes, that is essential nature, the Swarupa Shakti, actually, you know. Because now that Jiva Goswami is already, you know, making us aware, making us a realization of the external potency, now then he will talk about his internal potency, you know, and how Bhagavan's attributes, they constitute that, and how Maya actually kind of feels shy to even come before, you know. So Maya is no doubt Lord's external potency, and yet it is cannot function independent of Krishna. So this particular PowerPoint, you see, that's it's today's lesson, actually. That is the lesson 7, and the text will be discussing about 18 to 23. There are six texts, six anuchedas, which Jiva Goswami refers to, and is this all about Bhagavan's external potency. And these are the lesson found. There are three lesson themes here now. First one is this text 18, which is one of the most important texts in this regard, actually, you know. And that is this Maya's two divisions. As I told you, I never heard of it before until now, actually, you know. This Jiva Maya and Guna Maya, what are they, you know? How functionally, this feature, functional features of this Maya, that is what we are going to learn that, you know. And then text 19 and 20, it's about the Lord's Swarupa Shakti, or internal potency of the Lord, which is the source of all actions within this material world. Even whatever we do, it's because of Lord's internal potency. I told you that we cannot see unless Lord can see, you know, unless Lord allows us to see. So everything, all our actions are also actually only happens when Lord sanctions it, Lord's sanctioning authority, and that resides in Lord's internal potency. And then final three verses, 21, 22 and 23, is about Maya again, external potency, and as I told you, that is, we all heard many times Maya as Lord's illusory potency, right? That you see in the top central portion of this particular PowerPoint. This is called Mahamaya, actually, Maya Shakti. Maya Shakti means is Lord's power of illusion, and we know that Maya is real. So how is Maya could be illusory potency, you know? So there is another example that is kind of difficult to understand. What is really, Jiva Goswami explains to us, that it is called illusory potency. Maya itself is not illusory. There is indeed real and eternal, of course. Just like Lord is eternal, so his potencies are also eternal. The illusion in the sense that it causes illusion among the living entities. That is the issue here. It causes illusion, but itself is not illusory. It's real, you know. So that is real, but Maya cannot function independently. It can be activated, it should be activated, it needs to be activated by the Lord's internal potency. And it's controlled by Bhagavan. And Bhagavan's Chitta Shakti, as I told you before, the internal potency, Swarupa Shakti. Okay? So, on the top portion, if you see here, that Maya Shakti, the Lord's power of illusion, arrived, actually is from Yoga Maya, Lord's internal potency, also called Yoga Maya. And that's the one which expands into Maya Shakti, actually. So, to distinguish from Yoga Maya, this Maya, external potency is called Mahamaya. So, what is the difference between Yoga Maya and Mahamaya? Both are illusory. So, again, you might wonder how is Lord's internal potency also can be illusory? The role of Mahamaya, which is the external potency which is operates this material world, regulates the living entities like us, actually. Those who are with very strong material desires and they want to enjoy independent of the Supreme Lord, which is simply not possible. So in order to carry out our fantasy, what does Maya's role is here to let us forget about Krishna. It makes us forget, it takes us away, she takes us away from Krishna, so then only we can sort of act out our fantasy, you know, to enjoy. Why this fantasy? Because we think we are going to enjoy, we think we are going to be very happy, but there is no real happiness, lasting happiness in this material world. It always ends up in disappointments, actually, no? So that's why it's illusion, that it causes illusion. It's called delusion, you know. So that is Mahamaya. Now, what about Yoga Maya? Yoga Maya also puts, but here the Yoga Maya puts his devotees, Lord's devotees, under illusion. Because then only the Supreme Lord, like Shri Krishna, how could Shri Krishna could enjoy the different rasas with his devotees, like with his parents, you know, Yashodamaiya, Nanda Baba, the Vatsila Rasa, how could he enjoy? So his Yogamaya makes his parents forget that their son is a Supreme Lord. They think that their son is an ordinary kid, actually. So then only this Vatsila Rasa could be there, actually. No? So that is why Yogamaya also acts in an illusory nature to Lord's devotees so that Lord could really enjoy and same with the devotees could enjoy that rasa, you know, that particular bhavas, you know. So both Yogamaya and Mahamaya are illusion in that regard. But the big difference is that Yogamaya takes towards Krishna, but Mahamaya takes away from Krishna. So it's our choice what to choose, actually. No? That's why I choose between Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Okay, begin discussing about text 18, actually. So next point, please. So text 18, as I told you, is one of the most important words in today's class, actually. So please pay attention. Some basic things we need to know about it, you know. So here, Jiva Goswami, what he does, as usual, whenever he wants to explain something, so he chooses a particular verse, a key verse. Now here in this particular six texts we are going to discuss today, there's so many scriptural evidence he chooses, and it's given the time constraint. I don't think I'll be able to go through all the verses, but I've focused my attention only on those key verses. So here, that one of the first key verse that we are going to see here, which describes the external potency, you know, and that is this very famous Chatushloki Bhagavatam verse. It's the second Chatushloki, and here the verse here, Sanjeev is. When it shows in a minute only. Rite artam yat pratiyat. Rite artam yat pratiyat. Na pratiyat cha atmani. Na pratiyat cha atmani. Tad vidyat atmano mayam. Tad vidyat atmano mayam. Yatha abhaso. Yatha tamaha. So it's actually the last quarter. Yatha abhaso. Yatha tamaha. That is the one really most of us really didn't care to understand that. And that is the one which is sharing a new light. This verse we have heard many times before, you know. In Srimad Bhagavatam we discuss at great length. But this last quarter of this verse, that really is most important here that we are going to learn about. That is the one which explains what is Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. But before we discuss that, let's discuss what the first three quarters of the verse actually. So, Ritte Artham Yat Pratiyat, Nai Pratiyat Cha Atmani. Now, again, Srila Jiva Goswami introduces Sridhar Swami's comments on this verse actually. And then he gives his own analysis also. So, Artham means, Arth means what? Meaning actually. Here, Ritte Artham means the supreme meaning is the supreme reality, the absolute truth, the Bhagavan actually, you know. So Supreme Lord explains here Maya, you know, to Lord Brahma at the dawn of creation, at the very very beginning of creation, as I told you, when nothing was there, absolutely nothing was there, when Mahavishnu creates multiple universes by throwing a glance. We are going to come back at that, at the Prakriti, Pradhana, and where the Pradhana means the three modes of material nature which are in complete equilibrium. As soon as Lord throws glance and Lord enters the super soul, time potency of the super soul sets these three modes of material nature active. So that's how Maya gets activated. We are going to learn more about it today actually. How I'm activated by Lord's internal potency, and then the time point.
were here. So this the absolute truth, artham, said when pratiyat means perception, you know. So here at the very beginning of creation, in each individual universes, Mahavishnu expands into Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters in each universe, okay, as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's navel, his lotus stem erupts actually. At the top of the lotus is a lotus flower. This the Lord creates the first living entity, Lord Brahma. We discuss quite a few times more actually. So there, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu begins to instruct Brahma. You know, after Brahma performs the great austerities, tapa, he gives to Brahma, and Brahma then gives to Narad Muni. Narad Muni gives to the Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva, during his trance, of course, he gets realization from the Supreme Lord. And then that fourth seed verse get expanded into the 18,000 verses, of course. So this is the second of the Chatushtaki Bhagavatam verse. And here, this is what the translation is here. That which is only when the underlying essential reality, artham, is not pursued. Rate artham yat pratiyat na pratiyat cha atmani. That which is pursued only when underlying essential reality is not pursued. So that is what Maya is all about. Which is in the self, atmani. You should know to be my Maya. So that's what Lord is in saying, that I am everywhere. There is no place where I am not there. Even to imagine where I am not there, that is illusion. That is Maya, actually. You know. So that's what Krishna is saying to Brahma. You know. So that manifest, which is a reflection. So that's the last quarter of the verse, as a reflection, abhasa, and that is jiva Maya, and darkness, that is tamas. There's Guna Maya. Again, I will talk to you in just a few moments. I mean, so in a sense, what Lord is saying, pursued, then I am not seen. See that? So it is external to the Lord actually. When you don't see the Lord, then only Maya is there. When you turn towards in devotional service, then Maya cannot function. You know. So Maya is only perceived when Lord says, I am not seen, and is not perceived. So Maya cannot be perceived when I am seen, you know. So that's what it says again. When you turn back against towards Krishna in devotional service, then Maya cannot appear. Maya cannot exist, you know. It cannot even come in front of Krishna. That's the whole purport, whole essence of this verse actually. Okay, next PowerPoint. So that is second canto, ninth chapter, text 34. Text 33, 34, 35, 36, these are the Chatushtaki Bhagavatam verses are there, okay. So now we'll talk about this last quarter of the thing. So what we learned here, so basically this verse is giving some broad ideas about external potency, and that is what Jiva Goswami actually gives you right there, next one. So, what there are basic characteristics of Maya is that Maya cannot be within Bhagavan. No? So, Maya has to be away from Bhagavan, okay? So, Maya can exist only, Maya cannot exist within Bhagavan, but at the same time, Maya cannot exist without Bhagavan either, actually. So, even though she is external, but she can function only with the support of Bhagavan. That's very interesting here, actually. And we are going to learn more about it. So that's the first point. Two points. First, Maya cannot exist within Bhagavan. Second important point, Maya cannot exist without Bhagavan either. You know. Okay, so here the next PowerPoint says. So there I combined, put it together in the first point. And the second point, she exists outside of Bhagavan. Since that's why it's called external potency, you know, like the president is there, and his power is there. So when he sends ambassador to other country, the ambassador is an external representation of the president. It's something in a kind of crude way. I'll give you just roughly some comparison, some analogy here. You know, whereas his prime minister is right here with him. You know, in the country. You know, so here's. So basic characteristic of Maya, that she cannot exist without within Bhagavan as well as without Bhagavan, and then she exists outside Bhagavan. And the third important point is that she is perceived when Bhagavan is. Jiva Goswami also reminds us what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. We already know here by this time here that Maya causes illusion or deludes the living entities, but interesting here that the Maya is an inferior energy of the Lord, whereas Jivas, we the living entities, are in a Parashakti or the superior energy, because Maya is a Parashakti. And yet, even though we are superior energy, the inferior energy controls us. Isn't it a shame? It's just incredible. You know, inferior energy controls we, the superior energy. So Maya is not an illusory potency, rather it causes illusion into the Jiva. So it deludes the Jiva, and Maya is indeed real actually. You know? So that is what this verse is saying, that, you know. So Maya, Maya is that which is not perceived in the self. So when the Lord is there, Maya cannot be perceived. When Lord is not there, then only Maya can be perceived. And that cannot exist, because Lord is everywhere. In every atom of the universe, he is there, of course. In every living entity's heart, he is there. Lord is not there. That's an illusion. So that is exactly what Maya is all about, actually. Huh? So what it actually means here, that it does not manifest independently without Lord as my support. So even though an illusory act she can do only with Lord's sanctioning authority, you know. Of course, then you might ask question, why would Lord want her to do that? And we will come and revisit that point later, actually. No? So functionally speaking, so now we are going to come to that last one quarter of this verse, which I told you that most of us never paid attention to it, and that's a very, very important part here. Jiva Goswami actually, telling us to pay very close attention, because very, very important information is right there actually. Yatha abhaso, yatha tamas, you know. So abhas, what the word abhas means? Abhas means that is a reflection actually. You have a light source, okay? And the light source, the of light, is shined into the darkness, corner of the darkness. And how do you define darkness? When there is no light. So when you shine the light, so what you basically see? A shadow, right? So abhas is that like a shadow actually, shadow. So it's a reflected light actually. So that is what Abhasa means, reflected light, or Chaya Shakti. Chaya means a shadow. Jiva Goswami terms as a Jiva Maya. Jiva Maya, it affects the Jiva entities. And what is the Guna Maya? That is the darkness. So what happened a reflection of the light, that is the Jiva Maya. And sometimes what happens when a powerful beam of light directly focuses on our eyes, then everyone we experience that, right? Suddenly a very bright dazzling light is shining in our eyes. You go blind almost, like you suddenly darkness comes. Sometimes, instead of darkness, what we see, multiple colors we see in front of us, right? It's called polychromatic, polychrome. The andhakar, the darkness actually, you know. And that is this guna maya, you know. So, actually that is what Lord Brahma made use of, that is maya, created with the support of maya, these five layers of ignorance on the living entity. And that's why it's very, very difficult, extremely uphill for us to get out of this material existence, actually. In order to enjoy independent of Krishna, how it is almost impossible. So to make it that impossible task possible, Brahma created these five layers of ignorance on this great soul, actually. So the five layers of ignorance are this. Tamishra. Tamishra means aversion. Andha tamishra, that's tenacity of bodily existence or bodily perception of life, that we are this body and not spirit soul. That's the one, you know. And tamas, that leads into the ignorance. And then ignorance further leads into moha, that's an illusion or delusion, you know. And then there's a mahamoha, a complete attachment to bodily needs, you know, bodily demands, anchoring. So we are firmly fixed in the material existence with our material desires, you know. So how difficult, five layers of ignorance is there on us, actually. That's what Brahmaji first created, that when he began to do this visarga, you know, secondary creation, creation of this 8.4 million species of life and different planetary systems. All right. So this is from the third canto, 20th chapter, 8th verse. Okay, back to this Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. Next PowerPoint. So that's the text 5. So Jiva Maya is the feature of Maya. Now remember, this is the functional divisions of Maya, actually. Yeah? Compared to this abhasa, reflective light in the darkness, actually. So here what Maya does, that she actually covers the living in the true nature. What is true nature? Constitutively, we are also Satchit Ananda, we are transcendental. We don't come into the modes of material nature as spirit soul. However, when Maya takes us, when we are attracted to Maya, Maya first thing she does that it covers our knowledge of Krishna. She makes us forget about Krishna. So it covers our intelligence, our consciousness. That's what she does that, actually. And what does intelligence do that? Because intelligence helps us to distinguish what is right versus wrong. It tells us, how we should really truly act ourselves, you know. So when intelligence is lost, we are completely lost, actually. So that is the first thing Maya does there. It puts us into ignorance of our reality, ignorance of that we are spirit soul and we are not this body. So that's the first thing she does, actually, you know. And that's why it's called Jiva Maya, because it affects the Jiva, it directly affects the Jivas, you know. And so Jivas are the subject of Maya. So she is like, this Jiva Maya is like instrument, in Sanskrit, Jiva Goswami calls us Nimitta Amsha. Nimitta means instrument, part of his instrument, Amsha is part, you know. Sanjay Prabhu is going to show us the next PowerPoint. So Jiva Maya is the feature of Maya that covers the Jiva's true nature, that we are spirit soul and we are meant to serve the Supreme Lord. So it makes us forget Krishna, forget that we are spirit soul, and forget us about Krishna. So, all right? So our true nature, our swarupa, is lost. So that is why the term Nimitta Amsha, or being instrumental in covering the Jiva with ignorance. So she is like an instrument, Jiva Maya is like an instrument by which we lose our self-identity. No? But that is not enough to completely, you know, sufficient to cover our consciousness. So what does other, actually Maya comes into play actually. So Guna Maya, what she does, through Guna Maya, she provides this material body and senses and sense objects. So these are like external portion of it, you know. Internally, she changes our consciousness. So Jiva Maya is internal and Guna Maya is external. Through Guna Maya, she provides this material body and senses and of course the objects, you know. So then we are completely, you know, completely captured, completely deluded, you know. There's no hope for us. So in order to understand, there's a nice analogy Jiva Goswami gives here. Actually, what happens if someone, you know, develops a desire to go to a bar, actually, all right? So he goes to a bar, he takes a very strong, like that. And so when he gets intoxicated, completely his intelligence is completely covered, actually, now, you know. What is good, what is not good, that power of that intelligence is covered. So he you know, realize what is good, what is not good. So that's the beginning of his delusion. Then what happens? In the nightclub, under his intoxication, strong alcohol, influence of alcohol, she meets a bar girl. Now, what happened? Yes, that's right. Thank you. So here, so that's the issue. Here is the analogy. A man goes to a nightclub. He gets in tough together. So covers his intelligence. So that's like Jiva Maya. And this Guna Maya is like that he's allured by sense objects. And what is the sense object? Intoxication is very, very, you know, very beautiful young woman, very seductively dressed. So he's completely absorbed in that, actually, you know. So that internally he robs off his intelligence. He covers his consciousness, intelligence, right? And Guna Maya provides us this senses, strong sensual impulse, and at the same time he provides all the sense objects for material enjoyment. So then he's completely trapped into material existence. So internally and externally both works actually, and both works in a complementary fashion, and both in a strength of each other's action actually. So the living entities in a complete delusion and completely fixed on the ground, anchors him on the ground of material existence. So now you understand what is Jiva and Guna Maya, right? Jiva Maya covers our intelligence, our true nature, lets us misidentify ourselves with this body, and Guna Maya provides us this our physical body, inner physical body. So Jiva Maya is actually an instrument in that regard, and Guna Maya provides us that additional things, you know. Okay. As soon as I think he's probably to or apart from his internal potency, okay, that's very clear. So here again, this point is here. Actually, first analogy is about snake skin. We all, of course, know that a snake has to change its skins periodically. So before the snake sheds his skin, whatever the skin grows, so that skin is a part of him actually in that regard. You know? She's like a skin of a snake. So this jiva maya is you know, is like skin, but the maya, this is very difficult to internalize, difficult to understand, that she's external and yet dependent upon Krishna. How to explain that? So that's why jiva Goswami cannot grow, only can grow with the support of the snake, right? It cannot grow. So it is dependent on this in that regard actually, and supported by the snake, and grows from its body, and yet that skin is inert. It's without life actually, and external it, because then the skin has to be shedded. So defects of the sheds. By example, fingernails are thin. Fingernails is part of when it's growing, and it growth of the fingernail depends on our own consciousness, the body. You know, is growing, but once once it is the nail is cut off, then it's no life and it's gone. So growth itself is dependent. So the skin, just like snake skin, is dependent, is part of the snake before it is shed, but once it is shed, it's no longer. So this is what Maya is all about. Maya is external to Krishna, but it cannot exist without support of Krishna, you know, and it must act externally to the Krishna, to the Supreme Lord. So again, yoga maya, I told you before, maya is also like yoga maya, Bhagavan's internal form. See, dhamaya operates before liberation of the two lower conditioned souls, mahamaya, and takes him away from the Lord, to distinguish from yoga maya, which operates after liberation, aids in facilitating the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So now we understood what is jiva maya and guna maya. Jiva maya is the target is jivas, living entities. This is what is called jiva maya actually. And that is internal, it changes our it covers our true nature, you know, that makes us forget that we are spirit soul, you know. And guna maya provides us this material body and the senses and also the sense objects. So that is external to it. Okay? So here is the absolute truth, Lord Krishna. Here Jiva Goswami talks about these two philosophies, which is completely refuted by this particular verse actually, that Jiva Goswami. First Advaitavadis or the Mayavadis. And Mayavadi, what they say that the Jivas and Ishvara both are the products of the Brahman. What they are saying, Brahman is the true reality and everything else is just Maya. Material world is Maya actually. So both Ishvara and Jiva are the products of Maya. Ishvara and comes from Jiva, Maya's Vidya potency, where Jivas comes from Maya's Avidya potency. No. So Maya is under his support actually. What Krishna shows here very clearly, Jiva Goswami explains to us that Maya cannot exist, cannot operate without the support of Bhagavan. No. Even though she has to act externally, and it is beginningless, so it's eternal. Yeah. Maya is eternal, and Lord is the support of both Vidya and Avidya features of Maya. So that is refuted by that Then about the shaktas, there is a school of philosophy called Shakta philosophy. They worship Devi actually, no? In fact, they have their own Bhagavatam called Devi Bhagavatam actually. And there is Durga Devi, they consider she is the supreme, and she herself is herself more Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, they all derive from her actually. So she is the supreme. One of my friend who is a worshipper of Durga, he constantly argues it actually. He says that your Krishna is actually created by my Devi actually, no? So that is what, and of course their scripture is Devi Bhagavatam. In many ways, actually before, Devi Bhagavatam is very very similar to Srimad Bhagavatam also actually. The only difference is here, Devi Bhagavatam says it's the Devi, Durga Devi is a supreme. We all know, if the mode of goodness, especially the transcendental pure mode of goodness, give the true knowledge, and Srimad Bhagavatam come to the transcendental mode. Actually. So right on that regard, that is refuted. Second thing, Devi is actually also Bhagavati Devi, and by that, the concert of Bhagavan actually. So she is subordinate to Bhagavan. Okay, all this thing what we just discussed just now, summarize in systematically. So there is a yoga Amaya. Amaya actually comes. Yoga Maya is expansion actually. So this Mahamaya is functionally divided into Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. So what Jiva Maya does, she is actually like a light. The light is a Bhagavan, you know. But Bhagavan light, when it's reflected, it's transported, you know. Potentiality, potency. And again that split into perpetual material existence, you know, perpetual bondage into illusion. So here again you might ask the question, how is Maya has a vidya potency? You know, because remember Maya has three modes of material. They are, this Maya is threefold, right? Mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. And mode of goodness, what does goodness do? Sattvam sajyate jnanam, sattvam yadam. So through mode of goodness, we get true knowledge. So that's why it's called vidya, you know. Now vidya, of course, are in core modes. And there's always a strong tussle going on, getting supremacy. So that's one has to remember that. Okay, what is Gunamaya? Gunamaya is like compared to a darkness or very focus of a sharp beam of light directly in our eyes that causes us in a kind of blindness, you know, for seeing multiple colors. So that is like it's the material cause, you know. So that's Gunamaya. It gives us this material body, senses and so on like that, and material and sense objects, you know. So that creates upadhis actually, and we already discussed before. Upadhis means it superimposes the material designations on the soul actually, you know. So this is what Jivamaya and Gunamaya, and we are going to learn a little bit more as we discuss further also actually. Actually Gunamaya is actually is a pradhana. Pradhana means remember the three modes of material nature which are in equilibrium, which are balanced. Enters a super soul, and through the time potency of the super soul comes, it activates these three modes of material nature. Okay, we'll discuss in a few moments.
So let's move on to the, so that is text 18, very, very important text. Let's talk about, discuss about text 19 and 20, the second sub theme of the second lesson theme. So here the key verse, Jiva Goswami quotes, this verse spoken by Narad Muni to King Chitrakatu. Next PowerPoint, please. So this verse is spoken by Narad Muni to King Chitrakatu, and this particular sub theme is the call action. Everything that is done by us is actually done by Lord's internal potency. So here is Yanna Spashante Yatna. That is called Yanna. Yatna. Yatna Spashante Na Vidur Mano Buddhir Indriya Asavaha Antar Bhaischa Vitatam Vyom. So what is Yen Aspasha Impya Asava Antar Bhaischa Vyom Vyom Patanam Nato Asmi Aham. So there are two words. There's the first. The second verse. Dehendriya. Dehendriya. Anam no dhi. Me. Yad am vidva. Am shda. Patshtika. Neva anyata. Loham eva prata taptam sthaneshu tat drashtam upadesham iti. So the translation. The Supreme Brahman emanates from Supreme Personality Godhead and expands like the sky. Though untouched by anything material, it exists within and without. Nonetheless, the mind, intelligence, senses and living force can neither touch him nor know him. I offer unto him my respectful obeisances. Second one, an iron has the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire. So the body, senses, lung, living forces, mind and intelligence, although merely lumps of matter, can function in their activities when parts. Conscious by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, body and senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman. So these two verses, what Narad Muni is saying to King Chitraketu, that the Lord is all pervasive. Our body, which is inert, it says, it cannot spashanti. Spashanti means cannot touch. Both knowledge gathering senses, jnanendriyas and faktriyas, vyom tan asmi aham, and yet this body, this mind, intelligence cannot know that Brahman, that Bhagavan, you know. So that's the first part of it. Second part also that, so the first part, it explains that our body, which is inert in nature, lack the capacity to know the Bhagavan. The Bhagavan means Brahman, Paraman, and all three aspects of absolute truth. So that takes the capacity. The second verse actually explains to us that the cause of that lack of capacity, that because this body and the senses are inert in nature, that's why we cannot understand that. So, and that's part of Gunamaya, as we, Jiva, the living entity ourselves, is there in poet's consciousness, body cannot do anything at all. But then this verse says that even the jivas, we ourselves cannot function, cannot know unless the Supreme Bhagavan allows us to do that, you know. So that is the, that's what I was talking about, that this is a three-way communication. This body on one hand, then living entities, and the super soul, and the Paramatma actually. Paramatma allows us to function through the agency of the material body, through the Prakriti actually. That's why the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, 327 actually, chapter 3, text 27, Prakrutiye gunam, Prakrutiye priyamanane gunai karmani sarvasah Ahankar viguta atma manyate. So he thinks that I am the doer. Actually, it is provided by the three modes of material nature actually. So, and so Lord sanctions through the agency of material nature. So there is a three-way communication. So here, this was this PowerPoint. So now Jiva Goswami explains more explicitly how action or work ultimately emanates from Bhagavan's internal potency. And that's why it cites this verses and Sridhar Swami's commentary also is there. Along with support from Upanishads. So Jiva Goswami cites many things actually here. And I just showed you the key words actually. So two parts, part A and B actually, what the explanation. Part A, both the working and the knowledge gathering senses are unable to perceive the Lord. So that is, that does not have a capacity to understand that, capacity to know, the body being inert in nature. They lack the capacity to know Him, like the sky. It's not like that, that Brahman or Paramatma is not in the mist. It's already there in our own body, and yet body cannot sense the existence of Paramatma, you know. And the second part of the verse explains this one. The body and senses are inert by nature, cannot perceive anything because being products of Gunamaya. But when the Jiva extends consciousness into the inert body and senses, including the mind, they can function and perceive their respective sense objects to a limited extent actually. So when we are in wakeful state, we the living, because of our spirit soul, we can feel, perceive our surroundings, right? And the same way when we dream state also like this. But when either we are unconscious or in deep sleep, that also is not possible. Because because the senses are no more perceiving surroundings, and there is no contact with the sense in the mind in the deep sleep. So Jiva Goswami explains very nicely here that even then, so like a person who is in deep sleep, it's not that he has no capacity to call him by names, he is not going to hear that, right? But when you really speak loud enough and just touch in the, then the super soul allows him and wakes him up. So even though he has a capacity, so he is a seer, but his capacity to see happens only when the Paramatma allows him to do that. That's the point here actually. So we are not independent even that. Jiva is also not independent. You know, he's also totally dependent on Lord's eternal. That's the point here actually. So senses require their functional capacity from the Jiva, who is dependent upon God, upon Bhagavan. Nevertheless, even when surcharged by the Jiva potency, they cannot approach Him. So it's and that verse gives an analogy, the second part, you know, loham itar apratatam taptam. Taptam means, so you have an iron rod actually. An iron rod, when you put it in a fire, intense fire, and becomes red hot, so then with the red hot iron, it can burn other things, right? So its burning capacity comes from that fire originally. It doesn't have its own capacity only when it's put in the fire, you know.
and it cannot exceed that fire itself. The same is so here. The burning power of an iron rod is by being placed in fire, but cannot exceed the source. So we, living entities, we are conscious, but because we are infinite in size, we are so atomic in size, we don't have a capacity of our own actually. It is comes only by the super soul, by Bhagavan, by Bhagavan's internal potency. Then only, so we can see, we can smell, we can touch. Things can happen only if the super soul sitting within our heart gives the sense and she can body. So the touch of this body and senses, then the body come alive, you know. So that is what the point here. None of us can have that capacity. Even though we have a potential capacity, we have, but that activation comes from the superior. Okay, the next PowerPoint, PowerPoint 11. So material senses cannot know Bhagavan. So we don't have a capacity. We do have a capacity, then why can't we know Bhagavan, you know? And the answer is because of its limited capacity. We are atomic in size and being infinitesimal in size. That's the point. So Bhagavan is the original seer. Paramatma is the original seer. And by his power, Jiva can also see. So we only see when Lord sanctions us to see, actually. The three-way communication. So although independent interdependence of Jiva, so here, this is what we discuss in Tattva Sandarbha, actually, that there are three Purushas, actually. Adi Atmika Purusha, Adi Bhautika Purusha, Adi Daivika Purusha, actually. Remember, we saw that. And there's an independence on that, actually. And yet, the Supreme is Bhagavan, actually, you know. So here, although interdependence of the Jiva, Adi Atmika Purusha, Adi Bhautika Purusha, Adi Atmika means the soul, you know, Adi Bhautika means this body, and the presiding deities of the senses, the internal senses, there are the Adi Daivika, you know. So they all three exist upon each other, actually. We discuss in Tattva Sandarbha. And yet, Bhagavan is the support of everyone, including himself. So he is the Ashraya Tattva, you know. So one should not consider oneself the doer. That's exactly the verse in Bhagavad Gita I just told you about, 327. Prakriti kriya manani gunai karmani sarvasa ahankar vimudha atma manyate. The last portion I forgot about it. Iti manyate, yeah. So to think that we are the doer, that's an illusion actually, vimudha atma, you know. It is the three modes of material nature, and that also acts only. So the seeing capacity of the seer is not lost even in deep sleep, but still cannot respond even upon being called. This is performed by the super soul. It is by the power of Bhagavan that Prakriti and her products acquire the energy to execute their function. So you see that. That's what I say, when I study all this thing, I put 2 + 2 together, you know, and I connect the dots in it about it. So that's what all of you must have much more deeper intellect to develop, actually. And that is the subject matter of this my proposed book, actually. And then I, you know, my science background, I put it there. And there are two central aspects of my book, that we have this particular personality, you know, the nature. Some person have very good personality, good nature, and so on. And somebody have a very, aggressive personality, and so on, like that. All these things because the three modes of material nature, actually, you know. And that we are born with it, actually. So that is right within our DNA. And yet, when we practice devotional service, the devotees, we have seen the observation is centuries old, actually. Devotees, when no matter what original personality might be there, but when they practice devotional service, somehow they become very good persons, actually. Desirable qualities acquire, actually. So how does that happen, actually? That my mind was constantly thinking about it for many, many years, actually. And finally, I found the answer in this Shastra, actually. It turns out that this something, so there's a three-way communication again. So something that when we chant Hare Krishna, honor Krishna Prasadam and so on like that, over the period of time, it cannot understand anything. It can only understand in the material language only. Science, and that's why science can understand. The science can only deal with material elements. So our soul is spiritual. So how the spirit communicates with the matter, that was my curiosity, actually. And it turns out that what I, with this connecting the heart, that it is because of this three-way communication, you know, somehow this devotional service, all these aspects of devotional service must be doing something that it alters the genetic expression, because all these personality traits, it are genetically controlled, actually, almost 80 to 90% of it. Of course, there is some instant of the environment also plays a role, but nonetheless, 80 to 90% is DNA, you know. So genetic is epigenetic phenomena. That's what I'm proposing in my book. So all these things came just connecting the dots. So that is what I'm telling you. Even though these are very, very difficult topics, but more difficult is more challenging. It helps you to challenge yourself to think much more deeply. If you keep on steadily continue studying this sandarbhas, you know, and such scriptures, then Krishna will allow you, he will enlighten you from within, actually. And remember, I told you in the second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says that, actually, that he will provide you unlimited flow of intelligence. Normal level of intelligence is everyone has the gradation, of course, no, to how to live in material world, how to survive in material world. But when we realize where the intelligence comes from the super soul, you know, that particular words, sarvasya ridhi sannivishtoham mata smriti jnanam aponam cha. So the intelligence comes by the Lord from the super soul. So once we know that it comes from the super soul, and if we utilize that intelligence for him and his service, then he gives unlimited flow of intelligence. So this is what I'm telling you. When you make a conscious effort here, Lord will help you to understand. But you must have the determination to continue stay with it, actually, and continue make efforts to understand that. Then Lord will certainly will illuminate you. Certainly your mind will become completely illuminated then. That's what I'm telling you. I'm sharing with my own experience here too. Years and years of constant struggle to understand these difficult topics. When it's difficult, I don't leave it aside and forget about it. I constantly read again and again and again and again, actually. And then Lord illuminates, gives me that knowledge and that incredible, incredible realizations. I get it, actually. And that is the result of these two books I'm talking about that I'm writing. I'm writing, actually. So this is what the example I'm giving. Okay, let's move on that. Hare Krishna. So what did we learn that in this text 19? Okay, let's talk about the next verse. This is about text 20, actually. So jivas cannot even independently know the material gunas. He is dependent on Bhagavan for his power of cognition. So we cannot even understand his body. Our body also cannot, it is not completely then our power, actually. That's what the super soul comes into play, actually. That's what, yeah. So here, Jiva Goswami quotes this key verse. This is spoken by Daksha in his Hamsha Guriya prayers offered to the. This is the 6th canto, 4th chapter, text 25. And I will read the translation with lack of time. Because the body, the vital force, the external senses, the mind, and the gross and subtle elements are material, similar words what we spoke by Narada Muni to Chitagato. They cannot know their own nature. They cannot know their own nature, the nature of other senses, nor the nature of their controllers. But the living being can know all these things, as well as the three qualities
Nevertheless, though he knows this, he is unable to know the omniscient and unlimited being whom I praise. So that's again the glorification of the Bhagavan's Paramatma actually. Yeah? So Bhagavan's internal energy is the fountainhead of all cognition. Cognition means awareness, knowledge that comes from Bhagavan actually. You know? So no matter how hard we study everything, in our own efforts we cannot realize the innermost things actually. We need the mercy of the Supreme Lord, but we make effort and we attract His mercy, then Lord will give you this unlimited flow of intelligence. Next problem for you. So the text, offer number 13. So the working and cognitive sense know neither themselves nor the living beings, because by constitution they are inert instruments, you know, and they assist the jiva its power of perception. Just as the senses, mind and body function by the jivatma, which in turn can only function by being energized by the Lord, but he cannot know without his grace. Exactly the point I was trying to make you that, you know, that we make our efforts. First of all, body and senses are inert, okay? It has to be conscious, and consciousness comes from a spirit soul actually. So it depends on that. And yet the spirit soul, the individual soul itself is also not totally independent. So his power to know also come by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, by his Lord's internal potency, and the Chitta Shakti actually. Yeah? So consciousness of a living being is not always in its normal state. It can be covered by Jiva Maya. He is bewildered and cannot properly understand even material nature. So in citing Upanishadic verse, Jiva Goswami explains that the living being is forgetful of Krishna and thinks himself under illusion, is an independent enjoyer and thus falls into dual. So that's what happens actually. When we, by our choice, we forget Krishna, Maya helps us to forget Krishna, then we are completely under the delusory influence of Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. Jiva Maya clearly covers our intelligence, our knowledge, and subjects in front of us, dangling in front of us, and we are completely lost actually then, you know. Okay, moving on to text power number 14. So that is what we covered in the second one, text 20 and 21, that the body and the senses and everything that's inert by nature, they cannot know the Paramatma. The living entity has a limited capacity, but that also comes from the Paramatma, from Bhagavan actually. Bhagavan's Chitta Shakti, internal potency. So that is the essence of this text 20 and 21. Okay, so now coming to the last one, text 21 to 23 actually. So here, the point here is here, that Maya is not illusory but real. The point that we made right in the beginning of the introduction actually. And Maya gets activated and controlled by Bhagavan Chitta Shakti or internal potency. So Bhagavan's internal potency does everything actually. The point is here. So how does Maya, you know, I told you that the Lord sanctions the desires of living entity by the agency of the material nature. So how does Lord, so that's what I was telling you that, this book I'm writing, I'm studying the personality traits, kind of personality we all have, how to change personality for good, how to acquire desirable qualities, you know. So that is also promoted, facilitated by rendering devotional service. Because how devotional service changes that? So it changes because it communicates with one hand spiritual, but provides that by changing the material body. The material body can, what kind of signal that super soul must be sending that? It can only, because
body, material body being inherent in nature, cannot understand any other way but the material changes. So that's why I'm proposing that material changes means it is changing the genetic expression. I'm being a molecular genetics, so that must be happening. So this powerful process, powerful steps of doing this devotional service, like changing the holy, the sound vibration, all these things must be affecting in a way our body, the very genetic 23. So how does Maya gets activated? That's what here we are learning here. So internal, so that is by the Chitta Shakti or internal potency. And the key verse here Jiva Goswami is quoting is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj actually in his prayers to Lord Narasimha there, 7th canto, chapter, text 22. Satvam hi nitya vijita atma gunaha swadhamna kala vashikrita visrajya visarga shakti hi. So, O Supreme Lord, by your effulgence, you have eternally conquered the quality of Atma. In your form as time, you keep material cause and effect under your control. So, here the key words are swadhamna. What is swadhamna? Let's next PowerPoint. So Maya is in Bhagavan's control, that's that we learned already before. So Srila Swami explains us further about this. Jiva Goswami quotes Srila Swami's comments actually. So what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, the Lord controls material nature also actually. So swadhamana actually means your effulgence, you know, as Lord's Chitta, conscious internal potency, Chitta Shakti, because which time activates Maya. So Lord's Chitta Shakti, that is his time potency, that comes from Lord's Paramatma actually. So that is the one that controls, that activates Maya actually. Remember I told you that in the very beginning of the creation, when Lord throws his glance at Pradhana, the material nature, that is in an equilibrium state. All the three modes of material nature are not activated, you know. So when Lord throws super soul's time potency is the one which sets three modes of material nature in active state, you know. So that is how Lord activates Maya actually, is the Lord's time potency. So in beginning and end, that kind of thing, property, Lord inserts in it, in the material nature. So swadhamna is by your effulgence. Lord Chitta or conscious or internal potency, and that's with the time potency that activates Maya. So Atma here refers to the conditioned Jiva, conditioned soul, who is influenced by the three modes of material nature, Nitya, Vijita, Atma, Gunaham. So Bhagavan is not affected by the three modes, himself is not affected by the three modes, although he controls them. He impels them means it drives the three modes to act through his time potency. So see that, it's one which controls the three modes of material nature actually, which regulates all causes and effects. So this function of time is described by Mother Devaki in her prayers to Krishna. That's in the 10th canto. I didn't write here, but Jiva Goswami quotes that, you know. So visrajya means materials are objects, visarga means means used to produce them. So that's how Lord acts. So important thing is to remember here, Lord controls Maya Shakti or activates by his time potency. Okay, next portion. So here, how continue this text 22 now. I'm sorry. Mistake. PowerPoint number 15 we are running, right? Yes. So Maya is under Bhagavan's control. We just finished that. Next PowerPoint number 16 now. Okay. So Maya is activated by Bhagavan. This is text 22 now. So here, Jiva Goswami, the key was given by this Mother Earth who is praying, Lord Varaha Dev. You see the picture here? karoti vishva sthiti sayamam udaya yasya ipsitam ne ipsitam kshita gunair gunaihi ikshitar gunaihi maya yatayo bhramate tad ashrayam gramana tramaste guna karma sakshini. So, O Lord, you do not desire the creation, maintenance or annihilation of this world, yet you perform this activities for the conditioned soul by your creative energy. Exactly as a piece of iron moves under the influence of a lodestone, inert matter moves when you glance over the total material energy. So here, Jiva Goswami is explaining why. So one question might arise, why did Lord create this material world? What is Lord's function? You know, what is Lord's objective here actually? So that is what we are here learning here actually. Next PowerPoint. So there are basically three reasons for that. You know? So here Sridhar Swami comments actually. So although Maya is inert, she carries out the product of Maya's are inert. Actually, Maya herself is conscious. Remember, I told you that, and she is real nature. So Maya's products are inert actually. The functions of creation and so forth, how does she do that? So this text 22 explains that. Actually, Lord has no desires of his own. You know, he doesn't need that. He has his own abode where he enjoys eternally with his eternal associates, you know. So what is the function of this material world actually? Why does Lord create? And that also periodically creates things for some time and then destroys it. And then again it does. So why are all these things doing it? The natural question might arise here. So here we find the answers here, you know. So question is then, why does he create the material world? So there's an answer here. So he desires it for the welfare of the jiva, just for our own purpose, for our own welfare. Lord does that actually, you know. And that is why he glances over material nature, Srila Pradhana, as I just told you about. And the second question, then obviously second question arises that if he does for us, you know, if that is his purpose, then why, the question might have, because in material world, jivas are constantly suffering by and large. No. So why would Lord do that actually? Now, does he enjoy watching us suffer? That's the question I have. So Sukadeva Goswami actually ends 87th chapter, text 2 actually. So it's a three-part answer actually. It's for the Lord's jiva's intelligence, intelligence in sense. So first thing what Lord does, because we have this material desires. So first he gives full facility for us to completely, fully enjoy material nature. Okay, so that's the reason why he sent us here to carry out all our fantasies, you know, and fully become saturated, do our best to enjoy. But you know, material world is designed to give difficulties. It never gives full happiness, lasting happiness. And finally, point to come, then a living entity become frustrated, and then he realizes actually. Yeah? So then. In this life he does not enjoy, then he gives another opportunity, takes another life, so on. So that's the second reason actually. So take repeated birth, death and so on in pursuit to fulfill the material desires. And finally, ultimately the living entity becomes frustrated and then realizes, and then he seeks avenues, paths, how to become free, how to become liberated from this material existence. And that is the ultimate cause of this, because Lord gives us full facility to enjoy, but ultimately wants us back in the spiritual world, you know. That's his point actually. But he doesn't force us to come back. He wants us to come by our own desire, by our own independent desire actually. So first he wants to make sure that we try out our best to enjoy here, and then realize that there is no real material happiness here,
then on our own we realize that, and then we seek Lord's feet. So then that's for liberation actually. So that's the ultimate. So then question comes, why does he repeatedly create, maintain and dissolve? Why? The answer is here, it's not given here, but elsewhere. Because many of us, we don't learn in one cycle. We need repeated cycles. So there's repeated cycles, repeated up even for us. In every cycle, Lord gives us, he himself descends, he sends Vedic knowledge, he sends his associates to give all the information about devotional service and so on. Like, and ultimately in some cycle of creation, the cosmic cycle, then that luminary realizes, and then he gets in the devotional service and gets out of this vicious cycle actually. You know? So that's the point here. Next PowerPoint. So liberation is the true purpose of the cosmic manifestation. So Lord personally descends to teach this knowledge to the conditioned soul. He also provides the Vedic instructions for their welfare and so on like that. And is this 12 Mahajanas, you know, give the glyphs the human society. Text 19, please. So finally, this this key verse is given by Arjuna's prayers to Krishna. This is in first canto, 7th chapter, text 23 actually. Tam adhya purusha sakshat ishvara prakrute para maya vyudasya icchashaktaya kaivalya sthita atmani. You are directly the original person, O my Lord, beyond the material energy, by dint of your conscious shaktaya. Icha means he desiring, you know, and by his internal potency. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed this. So here the other question might come. If so, why does he not give equal opportunity to everyone? Why is it that some enjoy heaven and some enjoy? Of course, this is karmic reactions. Whatever the karmas we perform, we have to enjoy. If there's good karmas, bad karmas, we have to suffer actually. So he is the one who sanctions karmic results to us. He gives us that, okay? And Maya is inert, so how can she create the cosmos? And that also has potency. He activates inert Maya by this time potency. Okay, now the final verse, text 23. So key verse is here, Arjuna prays, Tvam adhya purusha sakshat ishvara prakrute hai para mayam vyudasya cha iccha shaktaya kaivalya sthita atmani. You are directly the original person, the Supreme Lord, beyond the material energy. By dint of your consciousness potency, you have cast away the effect of Maya and are always situated in yourself in the state of absolute unity. Absolute unity. So question here arises, if the Lord activates Maya, so then he comes, so obviously one would have to accept that he must come in contact with Maya, you know. So how come can you say he's liberated? Kaivalya means liberated. How can you say? Because Lord, when you say liberated, that means he himself must be some point, must be under under bondage, you know. If that's not possible, Supreme Lord, he cannot be. So how can you use the word liberation, you know? So based on the impersonal understanding, how can you say that he enjoys bliss? You know? So now Srila Swami actually explains, the Kaivalya here, although it generally means liberation, but here it doesn't mean liberation. So the point here, how you translate the word Kaivalya. Here it Kaivalya means it is unadulterated. Unadulterated means without material contamination. That's what the point here is. So next fragment. Text pop in 20. So answer is here. Instead of general translation of Kaivalya as liberation, here's the real import is free from material contamination. So in this case, Kaivalya signifies absolute unity, but without denying the existence of Lord's internal potency. He experiences bliss through his internal potency, which is non-different from the Lord. So point is here that Lord is completely self-satisfied himself, actually. He doesn't need that, you know. He does only for the living entities, you know, for their welfare at least. So he is completely blissful. So point is that Bhagavan does not get in contact with Maya, you know. Anyway, he throws glance from way distance. And actually even Paramatma that he enters in material nature, even Paramatma also doesn't come directly in touch with Prakriti actually. You know? So this is the example is given that like a magnet, you know, a magnet manipulates iron fillings, you know, without direct contact, you know, and without any influence of the iron upon the magnet itself. The magnet is remains there, but it attracts from distance the iron fillings actually. You know? Without magnet doesn't have to come near the ions. Iron fillings themselves come attracted by that, you know. Okay, the second question here. If Bhagavan is transcendental and situated in pure bliss, how can he even experience Maya to thus control her? So then how does he control Maya actually? So Arjuna says that by saying that he presides over Maya, having subdued her by his Chitta Shakti, and that proves the existence of his internal potency, in other words. Next problem. So I'm running out of time now. Please, next, the last two now. So to further explain Kaivalya, Jiva Goswami cites the sage Dattatreya's verse now, 11th into 9th chapter, text 18. So he is superior to all existence, Lord, material and spiritual. He has internal purity, otherwise there is no need to say that he enjoys supreme bliss. That internal purity, that told you that the Swarupa Shakti itself is subdivided into three classes. Sandini Shakti, Samavit Shakti, and Ladini Shakti. Ladini Shakti is the bliss. So he enjoys bliss by his own internal potency. So at the time of creation, the Lord destabilizes the three modes of material nature, that's Pradhana, through his unaltered internal potency. That is the influence of his Chitta Shakti. And does manifest the Mahat Tattva. So that's how he does that actually. So his time potency activates the Maya, and so Pradhana, which is in equilibrium state three modes, it becomes activated once the Maya time potency is there, and then the cycle, the Maya gets activated. You know, the Prakriti becomes activated now. You know? So it is the Guna Maya that is Pradhana actually. You know, three modes. And finally, text 22, final verse. So, final verse is just a summary, is insignificant relative to that of the sun, illustrate how the internal energy is superior to the intermediary in external energy. So, Maya are totally insignificant compared to internal potency. You know? And in Vaikuntha, there is no Maya. And of course, Maya has two divisions, we already discussed, but Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. And each has further subdivision, three subdivision, depending on the three modes of material nature. And Maya, of course, it is real. And there's nothing illusion regarding her existence. It deludes the living entities, but Maya herself is real. So that, I'll conclude, and stop here and see if there are questions or comments. I'm sorry I took so much time, but the topic was difficult, and six chapters I had to complete, you know. So I will give you, discuss only the key verses and gives the essence, the thematic essence of what about today's lesson actually. And some new things we learn about the Maya, how she operates. She is external to Bhagavan. And yet she is totally dependent upon Lord's internal potency, and Maya becomes activated by Lord's time potency. And what are the reasons why Lord creates this material world? It's for the welfare of us. Actually, the ultimate reason is that Lord desires to come back to the spiritual world. Okay, let's see the questions, comments. Sharad Prabhu, not audible despite re-logging. Okay, yes, problem with the audio portion. Okay, Sharad Prabhu, large population worship Durga Devi, the Maya Devi. Is it possible for them to be freed from Maya by her blessings, grace, or is that we can one can only be freed from Maya by the grace of Sri Krishna and not anyone else? Then if Maya is controlled by Bhagavan's Chitta Shakti, then why the Lord directly bewilders the Jivas when the Jivas are part of His internal potency? Abhiji, one personal question. When is your book coming up? I'll answer in just a minute. But coming question here. Very, very, very nice question Sharad Prabhu is asking. Very, very intelligent question actually. He's asking, is it possible to be free from Maya by her blessings? Actually, Maya's role is to take us away from Krishna because of our own material desires to enjoy. So we really have to, abolish our material desires. So we cannot kill our desires. Lord Prabhupada used to say that we are not like dead stones actually. No? We cannot, desires we cannot kill. What we can do is to transform the desires into spiritual desires. So instead of our own selfish desires, if we do it for the Lord, then it's the only way, because once we take shelter of Lord's internal potency, Maya cannot work anymore on us. So Maya herself will not help us. Yeah. But there is a role actually to screen that we are truly committed to serve the Lord actually. So that's the point here. Maya's mercy only comes enjoy more and more in material world. That's our motive. So those who are worshipa Devi, they constantly pray, give me more and more money, lots and lots of money, lots and lots of happiness, all these things they ask. But they don't realize, she'll be very happy to provide all things. In fact, devotees of Durga Devi, devotees of Devi, provide all the material comfort, material health, luxury and all these things actually. But in other words, you don't realize that's what she's keeping you firmly fixed in this material world. So use your intelligence. You don't want to be, if you don't want to remain here, then why are you doing this thing now? You don't ask Maya. So then, when you're really ready to become a devotee, then Lord's internal potency takes charge of you. Yogamaya takes charge of you too. So when Yogamaya takes charge of you, then Mahamaya cannot work, and she has to let you go. And that's her job actually. So when is my book coming up? Prabhuji, I'm trying, but in the conduct of this course, it's taking so much of my time. My writing is kind of being lagging behind that. But soon, I will let you know. Nilima Mataji, you would like to contribute for book? Oh, thank you Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But I got this educational grant actually. In publishing this book, So Lord is very merciful in that, because the mercy, Lord's mercy comes from the devotee's mercy actually. So please Mataji, you pray that I somehow find time to complete this book, But by the conduct of these courses, Sandarbhas, I'm getting so much realizations. All this thing is actually helping me to write this book actually, Atul Prabhu, we know this. Maya for us, how to deal with Ravindra Prabhu. Intelligence is also matter, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's a part of this subtle sukshma body. Mano buddhi ahankar. That is a subtle body. So it is a material body. Okay, any more questions? Thank you, Mataji. Lilima Mataji, thank you so much for your kind offer. But I would love to have some feedback when I will have completed first draft. I would like you to critique my book, So first I'm trying to publish it in scientific journal actually,
And all these ideas I got from studying Bhagavatam. Okay, so looks like no questions, comments. Thank you so much. I'm going to request Dishana to conclude the class. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol, Dishana Veda. Hare Bol.
Hello.